On the show today, we have Coastal Credit Union's very own Joe Mecca talking about what their credit union is doing for their members and employees while staying operational during the COVID-19 crisis. Check it out. Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Joe Mecca from Coastal Credit Union, the fine folks in North Carolina. Joe, how are you guys doing over there?
We're doing okay. We're doing the best we can right now with the situation that's in front of us and the resources we have available.
Indeed. Hey, we were talking right before the recording. You were saying some interesting stuff about pandemic planning because a couple of months ago we were all at GAC and living carefree and having fun and all that type of stuff. And all of a sudden the world turned upside down and here we are in this situation. But you were talking about just as you guys returned from the GAC, you guys were actually talking about pandemic planning and kind of getting all those ducks in a row. Can you tell me about that process real quick? Because I think a lot of people weren't, me included, weren't in that boat. We weren't even thinking about that, but you guys were. So what was going on there?
Yeah, fortunately, Coastal tends to be a little bit ahead of the curve on most things. And we've had a business continuity steering committee and plan in place for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. Our committee meets quarterly at least, and then reviews all of our different continuity plans. But part of that, it does involve maintaining a pandemic plan.
Yeah.
And so as soon as we got back from GAC, within a day or two of getting back, we pulled together the team. Our business continuity team met with our senior team, had a big meeting. We got an overview of the situation. Chuck was adamant about making sure we were as ahead of it as we could be. And so we got right to work doing our different plans that we needed to cover. The next day, the next morning, in fact, a subcommittee of that broke off and started working through communication. Because even though we had a pandemic plan and we've got a really good business continuity plan, when you're actually in a situation and you start to have specifics and details, you need to, you're not ready to go right out of the box. You need to kind of fine tune a lot of what you are, in fact, prepared for, what your messaging is going to be. Mm-hmm. So we had a messaging team that got together and worked through some of the scenarios that were going to happen or could happen. And got right to work on starting to map out what communication might look like. Mm-hmm. So I was actually in my office that afternoon, whiteboarding out the different scenarios that we would have to have just communication templates for. And in the middle of that, got the alert that we had a case in North Carolina.
Oh my gosh.
So we went from just trying to rough out an outline to having to actively start communicating internally that same day.
Wow.
We went straight to an execution phase. But fortunately, we do quarterly exercises. Our team, all of our departments have to test their plans mm-hmm. regularly. And so we were about as ready as I could say a credit union can be in that situation. Mm-hmm. And we were ready to kind of jump into what we needed to do.
Yeah. How did all that help you? How did that preparation help you out? Because I think that's a really important message here. I mean, as prepared as you can, because this is, again, it's been said a million times, this is really unprecedented stuff we're going through. But how did that preparation help you handle or manage this unprecedented stuff we're going through?
You know what you're going to do when the situation arrives. You don't have to spend too much time thinking about, how am I going to do this? It's okay. That thing that we've practiced, that thing that we've rehearsed for, it's time to go ahead and start executing that. We know which communication channels we're going to use. We know how our IT department is going to get all of the other business units situated. The one unique thing to this was a lot of our plans are built around what happens if everything goes down and then we got to rebuild. The unique situation here was everything was up and running.
Yeah.
We just needed to figure out how do we adapt on the fly. but between IT operations, support services, senior management, HR, everyone had that base plan ready to go, mm-hmm. And were able to start, pulling the levers and flipping switches and getting things to happen. On the employee side, which is really, the big part of this, if you want to keep serving members and keep serving the community, we got to make sure that our employees taken care of pretty mm-hmm. quickly. Just like everybody else, we ramped up the cleanings and sanitation, started to try to practice, social distancing, provide hand sanitizer, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing that we did is we shifted a huge portion of our workforce to remote work within 2 weeks.
Wow.
The last number I saw from our IT systems and engineering department was that we went from basically zero to 460 employees capable of working remotely.
Good grief.
In an incredibly short period of time. Now, a lot of people were already equipped to do that. We just don't do it as a general practice, but as part of that business continuity testing that we do, people have laptops or Chromebooks or virtual desktops that they can log into remotely. Mm-hmm. So they've got the tools to do stuff remote, and we test that ideally quarterly. Mm-hmm. Do some little work from home exercises, but we don't just day-to-day operations have everybody working remotely like mm-hmm. that. We did have a good number of our employees who were able to quickly begin working remotely, and then were able to gather up the equipment and get the rest of the people situated. There are some employees that just can't work remotely. They need to be physically in a branch. They need to be our tellers are a great example. They need to be mm-hmm. connected to the teller system.
Right.
And we've got the ITMs. We've got the video teller mm-hmm. And with everything centralized at our headquarters. But those tellers need to be on our network and connected to a system. So we couldn't disperse tellers to their homes. But we were able to move everybody else mm-hmm. who might pose a risk mm-hmm. out of the way and distribute them. So we have people working at home. We have some people who are working in available office space in our branches. So wherever we had space that we can move people, it really just spread out the risk.
Right.
Yeah, I heard a lot of that. Closed the branch lobbies. Yep. We did all that. Closed the branch lobbies. So the in branch staff is insulated a little bit. And are less of a risk, but we were able to move a huge number of our workforce to remote work in a fairly short period of time. Equipment that involves systems.
Yeah, I heard there was a lot of challenges with some folks out there with a remote workforce and stuff. Kind of caught some people flat footed there. Like, oh my gosh, what do we do? So, again, I think like you guys did, best laid plans really really help out as much as you can in these strange situations. And it sounds like you guys did that.
Yeah, I was surprised at how ready we were too. A large number of our workforce already worked through virtual machines and virtual desktops. Mm-hmm. So they log in with a client at their desk, mm-hmm. but can pull up their desktop anywhere. So for them, they just needed remote access from home, right, from a laptop or a Chromebook or something like that. So we were able to do that. We do have WebEx that we use for a lot of our meetings already. Mm-hmm. Just being able to pull in people from different locations. So we were able to get everybody on that quickly. Right. And start having meetings through WebEx. We use Jabber, mm-hmm. mostly for messaging, mm-hmm. But it's actually got some pretty powerful phone tools built into it that connect to our phone system. So, I was able to come home, open up Jabber, and connect to my office phone.
Oh, right.
So if somebody calls me at work, it's going to ring on my desktop right here.
Cool.
Which I forgot to send a voicemail, so if the phone rings, it's not me.
It's Chuck. No, what are you doing?
Right?
Oh, yeah. My gosh. So what did you guys do for members? What did you guys do to help out members in this time? Because obviously that was, that's a major concern at every credit union on the globe. It's like, hey, what are we going to do for our members, especially with the whole payment protection program thing going on right now? The second round is due any time now, but, the first round didn't go off as many would have liked. So, so what are you guys doing for members and even business members and stuff? What are you guys doing for those folks?
So obviously members are, the most important part of what we do, and it's why we show up to work every day. So for our members, our immediate concern was making sure they continue to have access to everything. So for us, that meant even though we were closing our branch lobbies, we're fortunate as we went to the conversion to ITMs and the upgrades to ITMs, mm-hmm. we have drive up or vestibule or ITMs available at almost every branch, or actually all of our branches have either a drive up or a vestibule.
Okay.
So we were able to shut down the branches while maintaining teller service.
Mm-hmm.
We were already doing the 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. teller service 7 days a week. So that spreads out the traffic a little bit and make sure that at least teller services are convenient to members.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to make sure they were able to do deposits. So we made some tweaks to our mobile deposit. And we're able to lift some of the daily and per check limits while still maintaining the weekly limits.
That's huge, yeah.
So we took that hurdle away of people running into either they've deposited too many checks today or they've deposited too large of a check. We tweaked those thresholds and made mobile deposit a lot more accessible to everybody. We have really strong online and mobile systems already, so they're able to do online account opening and loan apps and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we're able to continue doing the day-to-day service. So then it moved into, how are we going to make sure that we're providing members with relief?
Indeed.
And we started to get a lot of calls
yeah.
around, just people needing just a little bit of breathing room. So we actually have a member assistance program that we put in place after the recession or during the recession
mm-hmm.
To help members basically stay current with their obligations and not get themselves in too bad of a situation. So we're able to do some loan modifications
okay.
and rework some terms for them with that team. What that team ended up having to do was pull in resources from other departments. So mm-hmm. we redeployed, I think it was close to 60 people, and went from a team of 4 to a team of 63 people
wow.
in a short period of time. And we're able to start processing a lot of loan modifications,
mm-hmm.
Both on consumer loans and mortgages. And then the most recent fix that we put in, and our project teams have been super busy just turning out new solutions. But one of the things that we did is we put in a skip a pay program and we automated it. So mm-hmm. members are able to log into their online account. And then if they have loans that are eligible for skipped payments, they're able to opt into that right there in online banking that automatically advances the due dates on those loans by 3 months.
Wow.
It takes having to put it in an application and make a request and go back and forth with the person. We turned that on pretty quickly. In the first few days, we actually matched the whole volume of what the member assistance program had been trying to do over the first 3 weeks. So, mm-hmm. That volume was taken care of a lot faster, and it was able to provide a lot of members with relief. I checked this morning and we were already at 7,200 loan modifications,
mm-hmm.
For our members.
Mm-hmm.
So we're able to do that. And then we have an emergency relief loan program
mm-hmm.
that we turn on whenever we run into situations that call for free. Here in North Carolina, it's been hurricanes.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
If we have members who are affected by hurricanes,
mm-hmm.
every couple of years we end up having to turn on this emergency loan program. Well, we did that for this, too.
Okay.
And they're small dollar loans, low interest, small dollar amounts, but there's no application fee, and they're able to get those turned around a lot faster. It's a very simplified process, and so the member assistance team has been able to do a lot of those. I know we've done – it's. Approaching about $150,000 in those small dollar loans so far. And I'm sure more will come as mm-hmm. more and more people are starting to feel the effects.
Yeah, and that keeps people out of the payday lending vicious cycle. So good for you guys for doing that. So that's a huge help indeed. Yeah. Did you guys have any experiences positive or negative with the payment protection program, or did that even help?
We had experiences.
Leave it at that if you like.
Well, the analogy I've been using is it's like, we got the blueprints Thursday night and then the moving truck showed up Friday morning.
I've heard time and time, yeah.
It took some time to kind of process everything. We met that Friday morning and we're trying to figure out how we're going to make this happen. Coastal does a lot of, we've got a business lending department, but most of our expertise around small business loans for our business lending members are commercial real estate and equipment loans. We do, some corporate credit cards, but we do a lot of business lending in a narrow field of expertise. So the first thing that we realized when those SBAA guidelines came out is we didn't have a product to match the program.
Okay.
So we were in the situation of we either have to build a new loan, which typically takes months and we could try to do in a couple of weeks, or we had to go out and partner with a third party and made the decision to look for a third party. Okay. So our partners at Jack Henry were able to connect us through Lendio. And we were able to get a loan application up through Lendio for our business members within, it was about a week.
Okay.
So we were able to turn that on and have Lendio start processing those applications. And then we emailed all of our business members. By the time we were able to start directing them somewhere, we already had 500 plus inquiries, which had we decided to do that in-house would have been it would have been a bad situation for our members. We've got a small business lending department. They never would have been able to even get through 500 applications, right. Let alone right. do all that funding. And the program ran out of money by the 13th.
Yeah.
So we were looking at like best case scenario is we would have our own internal product up and running, you know, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That was our best case scenario estimate was yesterday. So being able to have that third party with that expertise and a system ready to go was able to speed that up a little bit. We're still encouraging our business members to go to that link and to continue putting in inquiries. So we're anticipating more money being available at some point from the government.
Yep.
And when that happens, we want them to be able to, you know, still have their place in line, so to speak.
Gotcha.
And still be able to get service. So, you know, it was a overall just interesting scenario because that doesn't sound like, and it wasn't just a coastal thing. It was lenders all over the place.
Everybody,
I know credit unions, I know big banks were, you know, they're put in a tough spot. You've got businesses that are in a tough spot trying to get those loans. It's a good idea. It wasn't as greatly executed as could have been. But we're also in a situation where, you know, when have we ever been having to deal with something where everyone's affected at the same time in a different way?
Oh, agreed.
Yeah, totally agree. We've got people who are sick. We've got people who are dying. We've got people who are out of work. We've got businesses struggling to survive. And you've got businesses just struggling to operate and make sure that you can continue getting your employees to work safely or having them work safely remotely. And it's such a unique situation that, you know, everyone's trying to get help. Everyone's trying to provide help. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone's doing the best that they can given the circumstances.
Agreed. All right. Last question for you, sir. And I'll let you get back to work. Recovery process. We're hearing mumblings and murmurings and discussions about, okay, there might be a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel here. So are you guys in recovery talks right now or planning or anybody mentioning that in your neck of the woods? Like, okay, it's time to like, let's think, you know, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months down the road here. So are you guys talking about that? And if so, what are you guys saying?
So we haven't had any internal conversations around what that looks like yet. Certainly not at my level. It might be happening at the senior level, but yeah, if they've worked through anything, it hasn't been given to us yet. But I think we're still early enough in it.
Okay.
Still wait and see.
Okay.
We've got that business continuity plan, so we know what bringing things back online looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah. From our perspective, everything's running.
Okay.
You know, we've got all
that's
of
your
our
recovery plan right there.
Still, we've committed. Yeah, we're still running. We're still running. Usually our recovery plan is how do we get things back operational?
Yeah, how do you ramp everything back up?
Still operational.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's more about how do we get back to normal? How do we reopen branches and start bringing people back into the headquarters? Yeah. That for us should be fairly easy to do from an operations standpoint. You know, what our members are going to continue to need probably it remains to be seen. We don't know what the economic impacts are going to be, how long they're going to last. You know, is this going to be from an overall economy standpoint, a quick recovery? And we're going to see a lot of those people who suddenly found themselves out of work, suddenly back at work.
Yeah.
Or will businesses be affected in a way that is a slow recovery? And then we may have to take a different approach. So I think we learned a lot in 2008, 2009 on how to help people back through a slow recovery. and we'd be ready for that. If it's a fast recovery, it's going to be a good thing.
Yeah.
So we'll be ready for that too. But I think what we need to work through in the short term is to continue to go to those member assistance program things that we put into place. Revisiting, we waived a lot of fees. So revisiting whether or not to have to extend those. Mm-hmm. As of right now, we're looking through the end of June. But do we next month revisit, you know, do we take that out to July or August mm-hmm. or beyond? And then just, it, you know, for us, it's more about monitoring the situation and knowing when to start to turn things back on and continue to support our members the way that we need to.
Yeah.
But, you know, fortunately, we're in a position where we executed a lot of things very quickly. We broke off into a lot of different project teams and were able to spin up a lot of solutions for our members in a short period of time. And we know that all of the things that we put into place can be extended if we need to. So fortunately, we're in a pretty good position with that, and are going to be able to help and are committed to being able to help for the long run.
Right on. Well, you guys are doing a fantastic job. And I think the theme here is, you know, again, best laid plans really set you up for success down the road, no matter what. So you guys, sounds like you guys did it right. And sounds like you guys got a nice on ramp for the recovery as well. So good job. Good job.
We hope so.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right, Joe. Well, let's check in maybe in a month or so and see how you guys are doing as well. And have, you know, provide some helpful advice for other folks who might be experiencing some challenges in these areas. So good stuff, sir. Appreciate
Sounds good.
The time.
Always good talking to you.
All right, Joe. Thanks again. Keep up the good work there. All right.
Thanks.